So today is the first Sunday after Epiphany, and also the Feast of the Holy Family, which of course takes precedence today over the Sunday, this Sunday of the Feast of the Holy Family. And then a few announcements. At the Mass today, the Holy Name Men, all members of the Holy Name Society, will have a renewal ceremony, which is done at this time each year. I'll have a renewal ceremony, and hopefully the little papers will be here before the end of the sermon. And if they all show up on time, we'll go ahead and do the ceremony right away after the sermon. And if they're not here on time, then we'll have to wait till the end of Mass in order to do the ceremony. But it will be the ceremony of the Holy Name Men, the short ceremony of their renewal of their promises. The essential one being, of course, to preserve the Holy Name of our Lord. And one of the reasons this society was raised up many years ago was, in fact, to prevent blasphemy. It's actually its first purpose. And to not misuse the Holy Name, to respect the Holy Name, and then to, within the circles of each of the members of the Holy Name Society, to, as much as possible, prevent others from taking the name of God in vain as well. And besides obeying all the laws of the country and so on. The epistle for the Feast of the Holy Family is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. Brethren, put on therefore as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against any other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. May the peace of Christ reign in your hearts, unto that peace indeed you are called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in your hearts to God by His grace. Whatever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then the gospel is taken from that according to St. Luke, chapter 2. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And after they had fulfilled the days when they were returning, the boy Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. But thinking that he was in the caravan, they had come a day's journey before it occurred to them to look for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in search of him. And it came to pass after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who were listening to him were amazed at his wisdom and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they did not understand the word that he spoke to them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things pondering within her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So on this Feast of the Holy Family, Church is celebrating the mystery of the good family, and especially the most perfect of all families, the family of St. Joseph, the Blessed Virgin, and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the example for all families. But today, a consideration on this feast of the Gospel, and especially on the 3 days loss of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is certainly a great mystery, and will be taken primarily from Bishop Herrera. But Bishop Sheen states in one of his contemplations on suffering that I've mentioned to you before that there are many times in our life when we receive sufferings that we don't deserve, or so it seems. But if we are honest with ourselves, we will recognize that there is no suffering that we receive that we did not deserve. Because we are guilty of many sins and they are deserving of infinite punishment. And so if we receive any sorrow, any suffering, we deserve that suffering. And while it is true that, strictly speaking, every suffering that we receive, we do deserve for our sins, and we should offer up in reparation for our sins, including the unjust ones, it is likewise true that our Lord does not always send sufferings as a punishment. And so here a consideration of one of the mysteries of the spiritual life. And the great example is Saint Joseph and the Blessed Virgin. And they are, it's important that it be those two, because they both have one thing in common. They have never sinned. The Blessed Virgin, of course, is conceived without original sin and has never committed any fault of any kind in her life. Saint Joseph, though he was conceived with original sin, he was purified of that original sin, and he never committed even a venial sin at any time in his life. He was absolutely supernaturally perfect from the beginning of his days until the end. There was not even a venial sin that he was guilty of. And so the story in the gospel today of the separation of 3 days could not be because of Joseph and Mary's negligence, nor for any of their sins. And yet they will suffer this 3-day loss. And so a consideration on this separation that is given by God very often simply to increase us in love as an important part of the supernatural life. In the lives of the saints, those who strive for great sanctity and who end up in the lives of the saints, the saints experience 2 different times of darkness in their lives, in their path towards becoming saints. And the first is called by the spiritual authors the dark night of the senses, and the second is called the dark night of the soul. Now these dark nights are sent to the saints, that is, times of great interior sorrow and a feeling of separation from our Lord, a great pain that we will not experience who have not gone through these 2 dark nights. But this great pain that the saints experience is not because of their sins, and it is not a punishment. It is, in fact, a part of the growth of love. As the pruner trims the trees so that it may bear more fruit, he does not dislike the tree, he does not punish the tree, he is not angry with the tree. He simply prunes it so that it may be stronger, prunes it that it may live longer, that it may bear more fruit. He prunes it because of his love of the tree. And so it is in our spiritual life, that although every suffering, strictly speaking, is deserved, in general, Jesus Christ allows a feeling of separation, and he allows suffering simply because of his love for us, and simply because he wants us to grow in love. And that it is quite rare that it is actually a punishment. We should receive punishments daily, but it is quite rare that it is a punishment. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's mixed, but only God knows the answer to this question. And so a consideration on this mystery. One of the beautiful truths that we learn in the gospel today is that the most intelligent of all creatures God has made, which is the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the most perfect of all creatures that he has made in the spiritual life as well, which is the Blessed Virgin Mary, she does not understand the ways of God. And that should be a great comfort to us. Very often we think we have to understand everything, and we have to know all the answers. The answers are going to be perfectly given to us, to every detail of our lives, when we arrive in heaven. And we will try to understand those answers for all eternity. And that will be one of the great joys of heaven. But the Blessed Virgin Mary herself, the Mother of God, the most perfect of all his creatures, does not understand what is happening. She has gone a day's journey away from Jerusalem, which is the city of peace. They're going back out into the world. Bishop Herrera says, when you leave this church, You leave the city of peace and you go back out into the world. And it is God's will that you go back out into the world. And when you go out into that world, you are to seek for Jesus Christ. And where you don't find Him, you are to place Him there. And so the Blessed Virgin and Saint Joseph, faithful to their duty, leave the city of peace, and they leave the temple, and they come together at the night, and they find that Jesus Christ is not with them. What do? They search for Him amongst their acquaintances and relatives. One interesting fact of the gospel today, our Lord seems to reprimand His mother. How is it that you sought me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? So why did you look for me in the first place? As if they shouldn't have looked. And yet it is clearly God's will that they did. This is one of the mysterious answers in the gospel. So the Blessed Virgin looks for Christ. And Saint Joseph looked for Christ. And He is the everything in their lives. And these things happen to us in the spiritual life as well, that there are times when we feel separated, not only from God, but you'll notice in the love of marriage that there are times in which there's no reason for it, or it seems that there's no reason for it. Your husband hasn't done anything extremely rotten or anything of that nature, but you feel distant. For some reason, at this particular time, you have 3 days, as it were, in the gospel, 3 days of this feeling of distance from one's own husband or one's own wife. And we think, what did we do wrong? What sin did we commit? What am I doing wrong? I should have the perfect marriage if I follow all the rules that God has laid down and were instructed to me in the marriage instructions and given in the marriage sermon and so on. Then it should be a bundle of happiness every single day of marriage. And yet I feel distant. It's a difficult time for some reason. We're frustrated. And yet we know that we have a deep love of one another. It is a time of Christ separating Himself from us. Why does He do this, says Bishop Herrera? In order to increase our love. Certain things can only happen at night. And growth in love is one of those things. And it doesn't have to be the night of sin. There are other kinds of night, such as the one that's in the gospel today. Our Lord simply withdraws the consolations just for a time. And what are we going to do? What is going to be our reaction? One reaction is to become angry, to become distraught, to feel abandoned by God. Some people, when they enter into this state, they get upset. God has left me. They have been abandoned. I have sinned. I am a horrible sinner. The other reaction is to seek Him. And this is the reaction that He wants. Seek the divine will in the sorrows of life. Many of these sorrows are not because of sin. They are simply the necessary pains of the growth of a heart in the path of love. And so when the sorrows come, it is not always necessary to point to all the things that this happened because I did that wrong. Because then there's no fixing it. Because you can't change the history, you can't change the past. But what you can do is seek. And so, seek for Him amongst the relatives and the acquaintances. Find Christ in the sorrows of the life. Find Him in the husband that is distant, even if it's not his fault, or he doesn't understand it. Find Him in the wife. Find Him in the home. Seek for Him. And you will discover often that you don't find an answer and that it's restless. And then we go to the temple. We go back to the temple, which is, of course, this church. And in that temple is the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist. It is there that the answers are going to be given. We know the Holy Eucharist is the most important of all the gifts God gave us. But there are levels of learning about the beauty of that gift. We must uncover the mysteries one at a time. And during some of these times of separation in life, which don't seem to have an explanation, I did what I was supposed to do, but now I don't have a job. I did what I was supposed to do, but he's not happy. She's not happy. And as far as I know, I'm doing the best that I can, but she's still not happy. And I still don't have a job, and I still have sorrows, and I still have tribulations. What am I doing wrong? Maybe there's nothing that you're doing wrong. In this regard, we're always guilty of some sins. But maybe there's nothing you're doing wrong. Maybe it's just necessary to keep on searching, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking. As our Lord said, knock and you ask and you shall receive. Knock until with importunity. Our Lord can respond to us immediately if he wants. But he likes to see us suffer a little bit. He likes to see us knock and knock and knock and knock, and then he gives us what we want. Because he wants us to really desire it. That's why he waits, for our good. When a little child wants candy, and you give it to him every single time, he will no longer love candy. But if you say, no, you can't have candy now, it's during Lent, or it's between the meals, and then later on you give him candy, he'll always love candy. He'll always be happy with food. But if he always gets his way every single time, he will become miserable. And God does not want to form supernatural brats. If we always get our way every time we say a little prayer, at the right moment that we say our prayer, don't we get what we want, then we become supernatural brats and we become miserable. We become unhappy. He wants us to be happy. And so every now and then he must separate himself for a little while so that we appreciate him a little bit more. And we go back to the temple, and in the temple we learn about the love of our Lord Jesus Christ again. We come back in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So we go back in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and we learn the importance of his presence. And then he teaches us. And there are answers that we receive later on in spiritual life that aren't like the ones in the beginning. In the beginning, it's very clear. Catholic Church is the true church. You need to go to that church. You should be going to the Latin Mass. You need to go to confession because you committed a mortal sin. And it's very clear what we must do. But there are times when we get past all that, when we come and ask a question, and we get a question in response. He wants us to seek him, and then he says, why are you seeking me? And all we can do is scratch our heads and ponder these things in our hearts. And there is the key to carrying Jesus Christ back out into the world. By pondering him in our hearts. They were separated from him, says Bishop Herrera. They looked for him amongst the relatives. They came back to Jerusalem. They searched for 3 days. At the end of the 3 days, they found him. And the only purpose of these 3 days was to get them to ask the question, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Why hast thou done so to us? Now that the question has been asked, he will give the divine answer. How is it that you sought me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? And it's a question, or rather it's an answer, that the Blessed Virgin did not understand. And if she didn't understand it, maybe we can't either. At least she didn't understand it at that time. Now she does. And so he's answered with a question. What does Jesus Christ demand? The question that he answers with, how is it that you sought me, quite simply means, I demand a greater faith. He wants to purify our faith. Why were you worried? Did you think that I would stay away from you forever? And yet he wants us to worry. Why did you seek me? Don't you know I'll find you? And yet he wants us to seek him. Many of the paradoxes of the life of Christ. And so he says, we must seek him, but why are we seeking? We must find him in our souls. And in order to carry him out into the world successfully, he has to be pondered within our hearts. And that is why it became a beautiful trip from Jerusalem back to Nazareth. A much more beautiful trip than it would have been had there been no 3 days loss. Joseph and Mary realized their love of him was even greater than they had thought. And they had something to ponder. So that it was not a boring journey along familiar roads. It was a new journey. And when they arrived back in Nazareth, they found themselves in a new home in which they could ponder the divine love in a different way than they had known it before they went to Jerusalem. And so it is with us as we travel through supernatural life. You go to the same building. You go back to the same house. You live with the same wife. You live with the same husband. You receive the same sacrifice of the Mass and the same Holy Eucharist. And yet it is always new. There is something different, something more to learn, something more to love, something that we need to understand. And one of the lessons of this 3 days loss, which is an important lesson, we will never know what it means to be married, even if you've been married for 100 years. You will never know what it means to be a father and a mother, even on your 45th pregnancy. You will never know what it means, because there's so much more to it than you can ever see. Never become satisfied with the beauty of your marriage and the beauty of your family. There's so much more there that you have not even scratched the surface of, much less reached to the depths. And the day that we think that we understand this man is a sad day in the life of a wife. And the day that he thinks he understands her is a sad day. And the day that they are confident in what they must do with their children is also a sad day. We must always return to the temple to ask questions. We must always return to the temple to wonder, what is the next step? What should I do? Maybe it was the right thing last week, but perhaps that's not the right thing to do this week with this child. I brought her roses the last 47 times. Maybe it won't work the 48th. Maybe there's going to have to be something different that we do. And so the 3 days loss Christ gives us from time to time, so that we return to Him to remember that He is the only one that is in control. He is the only one that understands. He is the only one with the answers. Unless we be tempted to think we have all the answers ourselves, even from His own mother, He separated for 3 days. And so He'll do it with us from time to time. Let's not be overly disturbed by it. And ask for the grace of humility. Ask for the grace of the deepening of faith. And we'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.